You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, this morning I'm going to share a message called We're a Gateway to Restoration. And I know that we talked a little bit about this briefly a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, I shared a pivotal sermon. Like I said, we're a pivotal sermon. It really is a pivotal sermon for us as a church called We Are a Gateway. And just understanding of who we are as a church and who we are as God's church, amen, the bride of Christ. If you haven't seen that message yet, I just want to encourage you to go to the website, gc.org.au/sermons, and you'll be able to catch up. All the notes are there. You can watch and listen from another room, whatever you do when you're at home, when you're listening to things like that. It will bless you immensely, and it'll catch you up on where we're going this morning. See, that word pivotal, what pivotal means is it's foundational, it's significant, it's important, it's determining, it's decisive, it's crucial, it's essential, and many other descriptive words that we can probably come up with this morning. What it does is it conveys the enormity of we're not just a gateway by name, but as a people who are called to God's mission. Amen? Amen. You know, one of the key scriptures that We Are a Gateway message was John 10 verse 9. It says, I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. And when we enter through the gateway, who is Jesus, that is what's available for each and every single one of us. Amen? The setting of our foundation, the setting of your personal foundation is and can only be Jesus. Amen. Can only be Jesus. And we talk about the word restoration this morning. That's where we're going this morning, that word restoration. We are a gateway to restoration. As a church and as people, we actually help usher people towards the gateway being Jesus. And that word restoration, it's the action of returning to something, to a former keeper or guardian, a place or condition. So, for example, the restoration of George's identity in Jesus. The restoration of Mildred's relationship with God. For those of you who are a little bit older than some of the younger people in the room, you'll get that. You'll get that. My wife didn't even understand it. I was brought up on British TV shows. So in the context of God's love to all humanity, restoration looks like us being restored to our Creator and the original purpose and condition that we were created in. That's what God's restoration for us is all about through Jesus. In other words, to help us see it a little bit more clearly, words that you may be a bit more familiar with or not, renewing, repair, revive, regenerate, fix, mend, rebuild, update, resurrect, resuscitate, awaken, wake up, rejuvenate, refit, re-equip, all part of the process of stepping into salvation. To be clear today, point number one, if you're taking notes or you've got your app, point number one is this: to be clear today, God is the author of your restoration. No other individual, no person, no church, no thing, no podcast, not sending $40 to someone on TV is your restoration. Only Jesus. God is your restoration. God has orchestrated the possibility of restoration for all human beings through Jesus Christ. You know, it was his plan to make a way for us from the separation from him to being known and being forgiven. That was his heart towards us. And it's summed up in John 3 verse 17. It says, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. I'm going to focus on some things. God sent his son this morning. God sent his son. He is the author. He created the story. God sent his son. That was the catalyst for us stepping into restoration. God sent his son, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. He is a restorer. He is a saver. God started the story. God is the narrator to this story. Amen. And because of God, because God is our author, our restoration as a church, this is our heart as a church. We've decided to take him up on his word. As individuals and as a church, we've decided to take him up on his word and join him in saving the world and seeing people restored to their God-given identity through relationship with him. You know, this morning you might be thinking to yourself, you've said that, you know, he's the author. Prove it. Okay, I'll prove it. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's move on. We're done. No. It's right. It's in the scriptures. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus is God. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's true. It is. I'm not asking. I'm saying it is true. It's in the Bible. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we're gonna pause on this for a moment. The author and finisher of our faith. Yep, I accept that. I believe that. He started the story. He sent Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day so that I could be forgiven and restored in relationship. I'm good with that. Get ready for this next bit. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Sometimes we can skip over things. We can look at the big things, the author and finisher. He is amazing. Who for the joy that was set before him. Can I tell you this morning? That you are the joy that was set before him. That's why he endured the cross. All humanity. He's like, this is my moment to restore every human being. To give them the opportunity for a relationship with God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've heard about Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father in the last couple of weeks. I say this to you today. He authored it. He started it. He finished it. For you and I, for our family members, for our work colleagues, he authored it. He started it. He finished it. He's a God who follows through. He is your Savior, your Restorer, your Perfecter and Finisher of our faith. It begins and ends with him, Alpha and Omega. And this morning, I want to encourage you with the scriptures this morning. I want you to understand that your restoration isn't something that's held on a string. It is something that is being given to you into the very core of your being, that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reside in you when you accept him into your life. And so this morning, I put this out there, my second point this morning, dare to believe. And I'm not just talking about daring to believe that God is real this morning. Dare to believe that God has a specific purpose, will, and tasks for you to actually complete. It's in Ephesians 2 verse 10. But this morning I want us to turn to Mark, the book of Mark. We're going to start in chapter 5 verse 25 today. And it's a little bit of a read this morning. And this is what it says. Now in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She'd endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all that she had on their treatments, she was not getting better, but worse. When she heard that heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, if I could only touch his clothes, I know I would be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. Oops. She knew it, For she could feel her body instantly being healed from her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt power that always surged around him but passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and spoke to the crowd saying, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples answered, "What do you mean? Who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you." But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd looking for the one who had touched him for healing. When the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him trembling with fear and threw herself down at his feet saying, "I was the one who touched you." And she told him a story of what had just happened. Verse 34. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering." Jesus said to her, "Daughter, daughter." Don't underestimate the significance of, "Hey, woman," no. "Hey, old lady," nope. "Hey, diseased woman," nope. Daughter. Personal. Loved. Treasured. Celebrated. See, when you reach out and touch Jesus, he doesn't look at you and say, "Who are you?" No. "Son. Daughter, I carry what you need." Her heart, faith, trust, knowing that if she could only reach out and touch the hem of his garment, that she would be saved. And what happens? Jesus didn't even talk to her. What would seem as a moment of insignificance to us was, for her, she was giving up everything that she had, because the truth of the matter, she had been kicked outside of the city. The disease that she had was something that everybody had given her the title of disease, dirty, don't come near us, you're not welcome in here because of your condition. She was risking everything just to touch the hem of his garment. Wasn't even looking for a word of encouragement. Just, "I know if I can actually reach out and touch him, that I'll be made well." Jesus' response to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Believing that I, Jesus, could heal you. "Your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart." Can you imagine what that meant to someone? Not only with healing, but being released from the words that had been spoken over her by the community that she was part of. The words that had been spoken over her by her family. The words that had been spoken over her by doctors. "Go in peace. You're released of it. You don't have the disease anymore. And no longer do you have the shame. Go in peace." What a restorer. What a restoring God. That same God, the same Jesus who restored that woman, wants to restore us and everybody that we're connected to. In fact, wants to restore all humanity to God the Father. Does that encourage you this morning? It should lift you. This isn't a religious practice. This is a real relational. Wow. So this morning I say to each and every single one of you, dare to believe. Dare to believe. An encounter with Jesus is the beginning of peace and freedom from the things that fence us in. Whether it be loss, attitude, hurts, anger, pain, unforgiveness, sickness, unbelief, whatever it is. Dare to believe. An encounter with Jesus can set you free from those things. You can have deliverance from those things. Dare to believe that Jesus is your restorer. You know, we're a gateway to restoration as a church, if you haven't figured it out by now. Dare to believe and reach out and touch Jesus. You don't have to carry your shame anymore. Touch Jesus. You don't have to carry that abuse anymore. Touch Jesus. Dare to believe that Jesus can make a way for you in your restoration. Dare to believe that the final chapter hasn't yet been written. Dare to believe that the greatest day could be today. Dare to believe that it's not over yet. Dare to believe that His promises are true. Dare to believe that hope will rise again. Dare to believe that sickness is being healed in Jesus' name. Dare to believe that your relationships are being restored. Dare to believe that your family will be functional. Dare to believe that the joy of the Lord is your portion. Dare to believe that life is being breathed into you. Dare to believe that the desert season is done and refreshing is coming in Jesus' powerful name this morning. Well, if that didn't fire up, I don't know what will. Dare to believe. And so this is what I say to you today. If that didn't move you, maybe this will. Jesus is already carrying your restoration. He's carrying your healing. He's carrying your salvation. Whatever the restoration is that you need, He is the gateway to it, and He's already carrying it for you. You just need to reach out and touch Him. Oh, but Pastor, if you only knew my history, it's so hard. I have no doubt about it. Was it 12 years of bleeding? If it is something that significant, learn from the story. If it wasn't something that significant, come on, if she can do it, so can you. Oh, but Pastor, it's so hard. Yes, life is hard. Life is hard. But Jesus has won the victory, amen? Amen? Jesus has won the victory. Reach out and touch Him. Dare to believe. Dare to reach out. Dare to get out of the issues that have fenced you in. You know, maybe you've lived with them for so long that it just feels normal. Live with the issues for so long, it's like, oh yeah, I've made peace with the issues. Oh, no, no, no. No, that is not what you're called to carry. You're called to carry freedom. You're called to carry hope. You're called to carry peace, not peace with those things. You're called to be set free from those things and walk away from your interaction with Jesus, carrying the peace that He's given to you in Jesus' powerful name. So, where do I fit into this picture? Maybe that's a question you're asking. So, where do I fit into this? Where do I fit into this picture of being a gateway for restoration? I really don't feel like I can do anything. In fact, I struggle to get through my week. That's okay. You're not the only one who goes through weeks like that. It's life. But God hasn't called us to stay there. God wants to empower us with His Spirit so that that becomes less of the norm and more of a random, seldom type thing. Amen? And when it happens, what do? We dare to reach out and touch Him and say, I need your strength. I need to be encouraged by your Spirit. I need to be lifted up right now in Jesus' powerful name. Let's go to Galatians 6 today to see where we fit into this picture. This is what it says in Galatians 6 verse 1. It says, my beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken with fault, may the one who overflows with the Spirit seek to restore him. We'll pause there for a moment. Overtaken with fault, a mistake. Overtaken with sin. I've done something wrong and it's like, oh, I feel like I've messed up so much that God won't accept me anymore. Oh, no. May the one who overflows with the Spirit seek to restore him. Win him over with gentle words. We'll talk a little bit more about this after I've read it out. Win him over with gentle words, which will open his heart to you and will keep you from exalting yourself over him. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the Anointed One, Jesus, as we carry each other's troubles. Notice it doesn't say you get to carry everybody's burdens. This is a one-on-one interaction of the one who overflows in the Spirit, gently coming next to someone and walking with them to bring them back into restoration. Amen. If you think you are too important to stoop down to help another, you're living in deception. Let everyone be devoted to fulfill the work God has given them to do with excellence. And their joy will be in doing what is right and being themselves and not being affirmed by others. Every believer is ultimately responsible for his or her own conscience. We're going to break this up a little bit this morning. In Galatians 6, verse 4 and 5 in the NLT, it says it like this. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself against anybody else. For we're each responsible for our own conduct, for each one shall bear his own load. In the New King James, in verse 5, it says, for each one will bear his own load. You know, we're responsible for our own conduct. Points to being a gateway for restoration. You know, we look at this picture here of God's call for each and every single one of us to be restorers, to be people who gently lift others up and gently speak into others' lives so their hearts are open. The truth of the matter is, if we come any other way to people, you may have experienced this in situations when friends or family, particularly family, we really let it go with family, don't we? Maybe in the workplace, and if someone's done something that they shouldn't have done, or they've done it the wrong way, or they've just gone and wasted a whole lot of money on something because they put it through the printer and it's like, well, that was the draft copy. Awesome. Things happen, right? But we haven't gone to them. It's like, hey, just sort of let you know, like, we've mucked up and it's going to cost us some money. But I'm going to talk you through how for this not to happen again. And we're going to have this conversation. And maybe it's the organization's got some responsibility here. We didn't have a plan to check things off before they were printed. Yeah, let's actually put that in place next time before we do the final print run. Let's actually get it checked off with two other people as well to make sure that this is right. So what does it do? The person could have walked away if the response was, "What have you done? This is going to cost the company $10,000, plus I'm going to have to stay back after work to fix this. I hate you. I wish that they never employed you." And that was probably the watered-down version, right? If someone's done something wrong, someone's sinned, someone's carrying fault, someone's said something or done something against you, the way to deal with it right here in Galatians 6. My beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken with a fault, may the one who overflows with the Spirit seek to restore him. So, points to be a gateway for restoration. You are called to see people. You are called to see people. You are called to see people. Someone's done something wrong. I see what they've done wrong. Everybody can see what they've done wrong, but can you see them? Someone sinned. I see their sin. Everybody can see their sin. It's on display for the world to see, and Facebook probably. But can you see them? What's more, you're called to see people who are with fault. You are called to see people with mistakes. You are called to see people with sin. But what's more important than a person's sin? The person. The person is more important than their sin. Does it mean that we want them to stay in it? No. That's why we live out Galatians 6 verse 1. We're overflowing with the Spirit. Therefore, with gentle words, we'll seek to restore them. What's the next thing that's more important than the person's sin? Seeing them seek forgiveness. Seeing them seek restoration. Seeing them seek the wholeness from God that they so rightly deserve. But how will they get there? They will get there through gateways to restoration. That's how they get there. By us outworking. Galatians 6 verse 1. See people. Let the Spirit overflow in, through, and out of you. To be a gateway to restoration, you need the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You need to put yourself in a place of encounter for the Holy Spirit. If that means that you need to put yourself at the altar during worship on a Sunday morning, just do it. Just do it. If that means that you need to respond to an altar call at the end of the service, just do it. Oh, but you know, I'm a leader. If we haven't picked up on it yet, I regularly respond to altar calls. None of us are too important. What does it say? Oh, what does it say there in Galatians 6? If you think you're too important to stoop down and help another, you're living in it. If you're too important to have your heart in a place where you respond to others or respond to God, it's deceptive thinking, and it's time to cast it out. Maybe in church life, whether it was here or whether it was somewhere else, maybe at some point in time you were told to put yourself in an altar call, to show yourself with an open heart is a sign of weakness and you'll lose your role within the church. Let me tell you, you were never called to have a role in the church anyway. You were called to be the church. And the church lives by the word of God. God is good, amen. If it means you need to respond, just do it. If that means that you need to listen to worship and have a quiet time where God ministers to you during the week, just do it. If that means that you need to put worship on the car and sing and everyone looks at you at the stoplights and goes, what? Just do it. Just do it. Whatever you need to do to be overflowing with the Spirit, put yourself in the place to do it. You know, to be a gateway to restoration, let your words, actions, heart towards others be beautiful. Let it be gentle. Let it be restoring. Let it be full of humility. Why? Because if we don't come towards people like that, really what we're doing is we're actually inserting judgment over people. That's really what happens. When we don't come at the same level of God has saved us both, we are redeemed and saved by Him. We come to each other, not... It actually doesn't exist. It's a man-made thing. Amen? We don't want to judge people. We don't want to judge people lower than ourselves. We're redeemed in the same way that they've been redeemed. Let love empower you to fulfill God's plans and mission. Now, I say this morning, be available for others. Be devoted to God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life often looks like going to others to encourage them. In fact, I would say that that's probably 99% of the role. Looking out for others, encouraging others, listening to this Holy Spirit speak to you. It's like that person needs a word of encouragement. I've got a word of wisdom that I'm going to give you right now to actually go and release to that person. I've got healing that I want to release into you right now so that you can actually go and pray over that person because they need healing to be released from me right now. Be devoted to God's plan for your life. Be available for others. Do it with excellence. We're not talking about worldly excellence. We're talking about being devoted to the kingdom, being devoted to God's plan. Do what's right and be your true self. See, doing what's right and being a true self will actually bring you joy and bless and benefit others around you as well. This next one, we're going to pause on this for a little bit. Your affirmation comes from God and staying close to Him. Can I encourage you? So often in life, and it starts when we're really, really young, we're taught to do the right thing. It's probably highlighted a lot in school because we're in school for 12 years of our life. And you know, if you do the right thing, you get a scratch and sniff sticker. If you do the right thing, you get a star on the board. If you do the right thing, I want to encourage you, doing the right thing to get a pat on the back is actually something that's probably been ingrained into each and every single one of us. But what it does is it causes us to put our faith and hope in the people who are over us. It's like, look, I did a good job. Can I get a sticker? Look, I did a good job. Can I get a raise? Look, I did a good job. Can you make a way for me to get a job in your organization? Look, I did a good job. Can someone please tell me I did a good job? I'm struggling here. No one's told me that I've done a good job. Does that mean that no one likes me anymore? Your affirmation must come from God the Father. And I understand that I'm talking about undoing 12 years of scratch and sniff snickers and maybe other areas that you've been involved in life where it was like to be affirmed by a parent, I had to be affirmed by my partner, I had to. Let's undo all of that by starting to do it to others first. Be available for others. Let the Holy Spirit restore you internally as you begin to undo the practice of finding affirmation, of finding hope in others. Let God restore you. Let God begin to do that. And I say this morning with the greatest gentle heart this morning. This is yours to outwork. Your salvation is yours to outwork. Yes, it's the church of Jesus worldwide, but made up inside of that church are members of the body, literal members of the body. But our salvation is up to us to outwork. Affirmation from leaders, affirmation from bosses, affirmation from your wife, affirmation from your husband will never, ever, ever get you there. Your salvation, being saved and redeemed and set free, delivered, to go out and do the good things that God prepared for you long ago can only be done by you. We will encourage you. We will speak life into you. We'll let the gift of the Spirit be moving through each of us and we'll encourage each other. But the only person who can even outwork the encouragement and the gifts of the Spirit, bringing them to fulfillment, is each and every single one of us. There's some personal responsibility that God is calling you and I to step into daily. Amen. My last point this morning. Your restorer is your protector. Your restorer is your protector. In Romans 15:13, this is what it says. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with His superabundance until you radiate with hope. Let's pause on this for a moment. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope. Hope comes from the Creator created, the Creator inspires hope. It comes from nowhere else except God. He is the fountain of hope. I don't know, maybe you've seen this before. I know somebody who, before they had been restored, went down to Geelong on the waterfront, and there's a fountain there. And it's got some storks and some other little weird things in the water. And It's like water's running over. It's like so beautiful. And they thought it would be funny to bring some shampoo from home and just like squirt the bottle in. I wasn't there. I wasn't part of this. This is before they had met Jesus. And I just want you to see this picture of when you put something like shampoo or dishwashing detergent or something that's really full of like suds, when that gets sucked into the pump and gets pushed out through the stalks, the birds that are in the water. So, it's the Karate Kid, isn't it? Yeah. It gets a little bit of foam and a little bit more foam, and then it gets sucked in through the filter again, and it turns into this overflowing, cascading river of soap. Suds, bubbles everywhere. And I want to encourage you, God, the inspirer and creator of hope, the fountain of hope, you think as hope gets added into that water and as the Holy Spirit just moving, just overflowing, overflowing, hope overflowing, literally hope overflowing down the steps of the Geelong waterfront. Just imagine the picture of the soap and just hope, just overflow. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going and going. It's definitely not biodegradable. It keeps going and overflowing. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Let the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life. This super abundant understanding that God is the fountain of hope and he dwells in me. The fountain of hope dwells in you. And as you connect with this, your restorer is your protector. It's like, oh, I'm going through such a rough time. I'm struggling to stay in the game. But the fountain of hope is in you. And so you look over here and you look over there and so someone affirm me, someone encourage. The fountain of hope is in you. People will naturally come around you and encourage you because that's what we're called to do. But first of all, you say, God, I understand that you are the fountain of hope. You dwell in me, and I pray right now, I'm close to the Spirit of God. And let the superabundant hope and peace and power of the Holy Spirit begin to flow out of me in this very moment until you radiate with hope, as the Scripture puts it, just as the team comes this morning. Now, in Psalm 121, this is what it says in Psalm 121. We start at verse 1. I look up to the hills, but where will my help really come from? My help will come from the Lord. The person who's written this, they're like, where will my help really come from? You know what? I declare right now, I tell you where it will really come from. My help will come from the Lord. It's not an empty question. It's a statement. It's a statement in reply to that question. My help will come from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. He will not let you fall. Your protector will not fall asleep. Israel protector does not get tired. He never sleeps. The Lord is your protector. The Lord stands by your side, shading and protecting you. I want to encourage you as you begin to understand that you're restored and God has called you to be a restorer and a reconciler of others, that he protects you. He doesn't leave you out in the open by yourself. He shades you and protects you. He doesn't get tired or fall asleep. He is with you at all times. He will not fall. He will not let you fall. Your protector will not fall asleep. Where does your help come from? The Lord who shades me, protects me, overflows his Spirit in and through me and around me. He is protecting you. And this morning, as we bring it back to the end this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. Remember, Jesus is carrying your gift, carrying your restoration, carrying your healing, carrying your salvation. All this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. The restored now become restorers. The restored now become restorers. We've been given the task of joining him in reconciling people to him through Jesus. Your restoration gives new life. Your restoration is a gift. Your restoration is what brings us back to God. Your restoration helps us reconcile people back to God. How good is God? God is so good. This is what I'd love us to do this morning. Just as we're in this moment. The team's going to begin singing a song in a moment. And I just want you to ponder everything you've heard for this moment. I'm truly believing that God wants to set some people free. Free of things that have actually controlled their thoughts and their mind around what it means that they can do for God. Thoughts and feelings about affirmation. Thoughts and feelings about, am I accepted? Am I not accepted? Am I known? Am I not known? Does God really care? God wants to break some things off this morning. But he also wants to release some people powerfully into everything that he has for you as you walk forward from this moment. Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet this morning as the team begins to lead us in work? You know, the one thing I know to be true is this, that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on a cross, be buried and rise again on the third day for the forgiveness of your sins, to restore you back into perfect relationship. The author and the finisher of your faith loved you so much that he made a way for you to be known again. Just with everyone's eyes closed for a moment this morning, you know, it says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. That is the entryway, the gateway to salvation with Jesus, salvation with God. But this morning, my hope is this morning, my prayer is this morning, that if you don't know Jesus personally, that this message has made it known to you that there is a way for restoration, there is a way for forgiveness, there is a way for whatever your need is, whatever you're carrying, that God wants to see you saved and restored, and it is available. It is available. It's as simple as believing, declaring that he is Lord. So if that's you this morning, just with everyone's eyes closed, if that's you, maybe you're at home watching, maybe you're on your phone somewhere watching this morning, this is for you as well. This is your moment to respond to relationship with God. If that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up where you're standing. Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down and say, yes, that's me. I want to know Jesus personally. On the count of three this morning. One, two, three. If that's you, raise your hand up this morning. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you. Anyone else this morning who say, yeah, I want to be restored by God. I want salvation from God. I want to be known by God. Anyone else this morning, if you're at home this morning, put your hand up and put it down. This is your moment to respond to hope and foundation for salvation as well. Holy Spirit. God is speaking to hearts this morning. God is making himself known. He's gently coming to you and saying, I love you. I want to see you restored. I want to be in a relationship with you again. Is there anyone else this morning? Say, yeah, that's me. Put your hand up and put it back down. This is what we're going to do this morning. If you're in this room, if you're watching at home, we're going to pray a prayer inviting Jesus into our heart. A prayer of forgiveness. Prayer of asking Jesus to be with us always so that we can be in relationship with God. If you haven't prayed the prayer before, pray it with everything you've got. If you've prayed this prayer before and you're like, you know what? I've just been off on my own journey for it. Pray this prayer this morning. Get yourself in right standing with God this morning. Let's pray this prayer. Pray this prayer after me. The whole church, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that God sent you for the forgiveness of my sins. this morning, I declare with my mouth and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I come to you today and I ask forgiveness for my sins. I surrender my life, I repent, and I turn to you. From this day on, I'm following you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Greatest prayer ever. That's it. Oh, we can do better than that. And if you prayed that prayer today and you're in this room, at the end of the service, one of our team's going to be on the door, and we don't want you to leave this place without some information and a Bible so that you can actually take it with you and start your next steps in following Jesus. There's information in there about what you've done, what to do next, how to actually cultivate a relationship with Jesus during the week. If you're at home, can I encourage you, go to gc.org.au/first steps. All the information that you need to start that journey, a form to fill out so that we can get in contact with you, because we want to make sure that you go on in your relationship with God. We want to see you disciple. God is good. Amen. This is what I know to be true. For each and every single person in this room who has a relationship with God, you're following him on that journey. God wants to continue the work that he started. The author wants to continue the work that he started in your life. He wants to continually shower restoration on you. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. It's awesome. But he wants to restore all those parts of ourselves continually so that we're better in our relationships, so that we're better in our workplace, so that we're better with our relationship with our kids and our husbands and wives. Wherever you have relationships, wherever you lead, wherever you serve, he wants you to be better. Can I encourage you? That happens by putting a foot forward and saying, I will step into this moment of restoration. It requires each and every single one of us to do something about it. Amen.